We're speaking now with Luke Mayville, and Luke is a co-founder of Reclaim Idaho, which is a citizen group that advocates for education, healthcare, and public lands in Idaho. Luke, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
It's great to be with you, Chris. Thanks so much.
And Luke, of course, you're an old hand. We've interviewed a number of times. You're a Sandpoint High School graduate. You're, as a co-founder of Reclaim Idaho, you were one of the prime movers behind the successful initiative to expand Medicaid in Idaho just a few years ago. But the topic today is the initiative that's currently almost approved as we speak for the Quality Education Act. Why don't you frame up what that's about and what the current status is?
The Quality Education Act is a ballot initiative that would increase funding for our Idaho public schools by about $320 million a year. That would be the largest increase that we've seen in a generation, really. And that funding is so important because Idaho is currently dead last out of 50 states in funding for public schools, and that means that we're seeing a crisis with when it comes to hiring teachers and keeping teachers in the classroom. We're seeing a similar crisis when it comes to hiring, you know, support staff like custodians and reading specialists who help out in the classroom. And we're also seeing programs like some of the most critical programs, things like welding, carpentry, ag science. Those programs are being cut back or eliminated in districts around the state because they just don't have the stable funding that they need. So we are people who really strongly believe in Idaho's public schools. We believe every child deserves a quality education. And that is why we've worked so hard to put this initiative on the ballot. To point to just the status of our ballot initiative real quick, we collected over 97,000 signatures during the past year. Our deadline for submitting those signatures was the end of April, just about 2 months ago. We submitted those signatures to the county clerks. There were volunteer teams around the state, including in Bonner County, collecting a whole lot of signatures, submitted those signatures to the local county clerk in Bonner County and county clerks all across the state. And ever since then, for the last 2 months, the county clerks have been going through those petitions, verifying the signatures as either valid or invalid. And now where the process stands is as we're recording this interview, it's their final day. The county clerks, it's their deadline for getting all the signatures back to us. And then now we're taking those signatures and we are then turning around and submitting them to the Idaho Secretary of State in Boise. And I believe on the day this interview airs, we will be submitting those signatures, will be shown up on the steps of the Capitol in Boise with possibly, you know, 100 to 200 volunteers, maybe more. And just a whole lot of support from the public will be submitting those signatures to the Secretary of State. They'll do one final review, and then we expect by mid-July, the Secretary of State will be ready to certify our initiative for the ballot and actually give the initiative a place on the November election ballot. It will likely be called Proposition 1.
Okay, so as this airs, you're going to be inches away from basically the final approval that says, yes, this will be on the ballot in November. Well, congratulations on that. Let's start with what that effort was about. Idaho has a pretty darn high threshold to do an initiative campaign that can get a proposal onto the ballot. What did it take for Reclaim Idaho to pull it off?
It took doing something similar to what we did back with the Medicaid expansion campaign, touring all around the state, you know, a number of organizers traveling around, working with local volunteer leaders, in some cases finding and recruiting new local volunteer leaders who really want to do something about this problem of Idaho being dead last out of 50 states in funding for education. So finding those people, helping them get organized, finding other local volunteers to join them and form volunteer teams. And then those teams go out, they knock doors, they went out to public events. Like in Sandpoint, the winter carnival events, there were volunteers out collecting signatures. And all together, over a whole lot of sometimes extremely cold days and nights, we were able to collect 97,000 signatures. And that's going to be more than enough, we believe, to cross the threshold that we need of 65,000 valid signatures. And then it's also going to be more than enough, we believe, to cross the threshold of about 2,000 signatures in each of 18 different districts. We've already confirmed that we collected more than enough signatures in District 1, which is Bonner and Boundary counties. And altogether, because of that Herculean effort on the part of, you know, so many volunteers all across the state, this initiative is going to appear on the ballot. It's a real testament to the idea of the citizen initiative, when citizens come together and take a matter into their own hands when they feel that the legislature isn't getting the job done.
Yeah, the whole question of the fact that we have that initiative process available to us in Idaho, that's actually part of our state constitution, and it is intended to give citizens, just average citizens, the opportunity to put things on the ballot that perhaps the legislature hasn't acted on, which I guess you could argue is the case here. So what are the details of the Quality Education Act? You mentioned it'll increase funding for K-12 school by about $320 million a year. How is that going to be paid for? And then what will that money permit schools to do?
Well, I'll start with the last part. The money will permit school districts and charters all across the state to increase funding for a range of really urgent priorities, like better pay for teachers and support staff, and more funding for programs that are underfunded, and that ranges from, you know, arts and music programs in many, especially smaller towns and rural districts. Sometimes arts and music get entirely eliminated in Idaho. This would provide funding for those types of programs if a district decides to allocate the funds that way. Something that we talk a lot about is, you know, programs in trades, you know, vocational programs like welding, carpentry, ag science. These are the types of programs that often give kids a chance to make a living when they graduate. They can actually go out and get a job either with no college or with very little, because they've got those skills at hand already through those programs. So those are also some of the programs that this initiative could, you know, put money towards. Now, to your question of how is the initiative paid for, that's something that a lot of people are curious about, because it's, you know, it's over $300 million a year in new funding for education. Where's that money going to come from? We strongly believe that this is one of the best parts of our initiative, is that we've come up with a very reasonable tax proposal. It's two parts. Number one, the initiative would restore the corporate income tax rate to what it used to be. That's not, that corporate income tax rate does not apply to most small businesses, which are tend to be, you know, LLCs or S corporations. The corporate tax rate only applies to C corporations, which tend to be your larger companies. So we would just restore that tax rate to what it used to be in Idaho, which is 8%. And then the initiative would also, the second part of the tax proposal, The initiative would add a new income tax only on the amount that an individual earns over their first quarter of $1 million in a year, or if you're a married couple, your first $500,000 in a year, or $500,000 in a year. So this income tax change would only affect about 1% of the population. No one who earns under $250,000 in a year will pay any new taxes under this initiative. And we think this is a balanced approach because a whole lot of money for education currently comes from middle-class property taxes. And there are a lot of debates about that, but that's just a part of our reality. We think the middle class is really already paying its fair share, and it's very reasonable to require large corporations and the very highest income earners in the state to pay a little bit more.
Do you know, Luke, how many school districts there are in Idaho?
I believe it's about, I might be getting this wrong, but I believe it's about 120.
Yeah, I've seen numbers between 115 and 160, and I don't have that firm number.
And it might depend on whether you also include the charters. I get mixed up about the exact number.
So, there's over 100 different school districts in the state, and I know that there's a lot of variation between these school districts and how they're funded. At what level they're funded. Some of them are in wealthier areas of the state. Some of them have, a lot of them, like over an 80%, actually have passed supplemental levies that are just now, they're no longer even supplemental. They're basically, the school districts must have these levies passed if they're going to operate at the levels they're at. My question to you relating to this is, first, what does the Idaho Constitution say about providing an even quality of education across the state?
The Idaho Constitution, Article 9, you can look it up. It obligates the Idaho legislature to provide, the exact words are, a thorough and uniform public education for every Idaho child. That's not the exact literal words, but those are it's roughly these words. Thorough and uniform are the key words. Thorough typically is understood as something like quality education or adequate education, and of course these terms are up for debate exactly what they mean. But that's the word thorough. The word uniform gets at your question, Chris, which is uniform should mean that it's roughly equal, that there shouldn't be some districts where, kids go without adequate funding and other districts where they have adequate funding or more than adequate funding. And in Idaho right now, I wouldn't say that there are any districts that where the students have more than they need, but there are certainly districts that are way better off than others. To give you one example, down in kind of southern central Idaho, you've got Blaine County, Blaine County School District spends about $17,000 per student. And that's really high for Idaho. And that's because they have so much local property tax wealth. This is the district that includes Sun Valley, a resort community with a whole lot of property tax wealth and, wealthy individuals. They spend $17,000 per student. There's a district right over their border that includes, the town of Gooding, where they spend about $7,000 per student. So that's about, less than half. So there are some districts that are spending, double what other districts are spending. So Idaho has this pretty bad situation where we're 50th out of 50 states in funding for education, but we're also one of the most unequal states because the little bit of money that we do spend is not spent equally. Typically, a lot of rural communities, some of the urban communities that just don't have a lot of property tax wealth, they're seeing a level of education spending that's about half of the national average. And we think that that's not something we should tolerate as a state.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up question there. So if the Quality Education Act does pass, how is there a formula for how that these new funds would be allocated to the different districts?
It would be on a per student basis. So it would take no account of, you know, the proper, we're not going to, the way the initiative designed, there would not be more funds sent to the richer districts, which is essentially the way the supplemental levies work. Instead, it would just go out on a per student basis. So this initiative wouldn't completely fix the problem of having really unequal districts, because some districts would continue to spend more, but it would raise the floor by giving the districts that need it the most a whole lot more funding. It would be well over $1,000 per student more all across Idaho. And that's going to make a big difference, especially in the districts that are least, that are getting the least amount of funding right now.
Well, as you mentioned, our state is currently dead last among the 50 states in funding education. Just curious, have you calculated where Idaho would rank compared to other states if the Quality Education Act passes and we get this additional $320 million injected into our schools?
This initiative would be a big leap forward and would make a big difference in a whole lot of school districts across the state. And in some cases, you know, it might make the difference of whether a state gets to hang on to whether a district gets to hang on to a successful welding program or not, or whether that program needs to be cut. In some other districts, it could make the difference between whether the district is able to hang on to a few of its best teachers, because we know that every year more and more of our highly talented, qualified teachers leave, either to leave the professional together or to move to a different state where they can get paid a whole lot more. So we know that this initiative will be a big leap forward. When it comes to the rankings, it could be, by our calculation, it could move the rankings two or three spots. So it's not going to be, it's not going to shoot us way up in the rankings. And that's because Idaho is so far behind. And that's what a lot of people, even people who are aware that we're 50th out of 50 states, especially our political leaders, aren't often aware that just how far behind we are. And what we're saying is that we need to pass this initiative. We need to do everything we can right now by passing this initiative to take a big leap forward. But at the same time, we have to recognize that this is going to be a long-term challenge. We're going to have to keep on doing what we can in future years to continue to move us up those rankings and to continue to work hard to give our kids something closer to the quality education that we know they deserve. I'm the parent of a 2.5-year-old and I can't think of anything more important in my time and in my coming years. I can't think of anything more that I want to see than Idaho start to, really bring back that tradition that's in our Constitution of valuing education and really believing that every Idaho child deserves a quality education. That's going to be a project years in the making, but we can really start heading in the right direction and take a you know, a big step in that direction by passing this initiative in November.
Yeah, it's really not a charitable endeavor at all. It's an investment in our young people to give them the education they need to go out and compete in the whole world. So we only got a couple minutes left here, but I want to mention is this airs Reclaim Idaho on Wednesday, July 6th, is planning an event on the steps at the Capitol. In fact, I think at 11 a.m. Is that correct?
The main event is from noon to 1 o'clock Mountain Time, which will be 11 a.m. to noon Pacific Time.
Is there any way that people here could? Is there going to be any kind of live streaming thing going on if people want to check that
out? Well, there will. You can look up our Reclaim Idaho page on Facebook, and you can find a live stream there. And I recommend following us there. I recommend going to our website at reclaimidaho.org and signing up for our newsletter, because that way you can get ongoing updates. We'll very likely send out some videos to our newsletter from the event. So find us online, whether it's Facebook or our newsletter, or sorry, our website at reclaimidaho.org, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, Luke Mayville with Reclaim Idaho, any last word you want to put in so folks can expect to see this on the November 8th ballot, assuming it does get the final approval, as looks likely as we speak. But anything else you want to toss out there before we have to sign off?
I'll just say thanks again, Chris, and I'll say, you know, we are determined to campaign for this initiative and make sure that we get the word out about this, what this initiative will do, all about the good it will do for Idaho, because we believe that if the people of Idaho learn that this initiative will, you know, boost pay for teachers and support staff and provide critically needed funds for things like welding and carpentry and ag science, if people understand what this initiative will do, the vast majority will support it. We learned that during our signature drive when we collected over 97,000 signatures in every region of the state, that it's not just those of us who organized this initiative that believe in public schools. It really is the case that the vast majority of Idahoans believe in this idea that every child in Idaho deserves a quality education. So we'll look forward to seeing a lot of the listeners out in the community between now and the November election.
And Luke, we'll be circling back, I'm sure, well before November. I just want to say thanks for taking time to talk with us today.
Thanks so much, Chris. Till next time.